Om Shri Sai Ram. You're listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony Asia Stream, and it's a beautiful Thursday, a wonderful afternoon. And as always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, signing in from our studios in Prashanthi Nilayam and welcoming all our listeners to this week's afternoon satsang. But before we go on to that, let me on behalf of the entire Radio Sai team wish all our Telugu and Kannada speaking devotees a happy Ugadi, our Marathi speaking devotees happy Gudi Parva, and a happy New Year to devotees who speak Sindhi, who speak Kashmiri or from the state, the northeast state of Manipuri. A lot of people are celebrating their New Year today, and it is a wonderful feeling to stay here at Prashanthi Nilayam, celebrate this festival. We had a wonderful celebration this morning, and we extend a hearty and holy wishes on this beautiful New Year's Day. Every week I'm joined by Brother Arvind to host this afternoon satsang. But today I have the pleasure of having with me a senior colleague, a senior at college, and also a dear brother of mine, Brother Sai Prakash, one of the senior most members of the Radio Sai team, not senior by age but by experience. He's been one of the earliest members of the Radio Sai team, and it's my pleasure to welcome him on behalf of our regular afternoon satsang listeners. Brother Sai Prakash, a very, very warm welcome to the afternoon satsang.
Thank you, Prem. It's been a rather surprise for me that I'm participating in the satsang today. Let me see if I match up to Arvind, because the listeners are used to listening to Arvind. But I think, as we were discussing earlier, the topic we have chosen is something which I have lived through and which has been a part of my life. So, like thousands of students who have passed out from Swami's institutions, possibly you would like to introduce the topic.
Yeah, definitely. But before that, I take the privilege of offering our most humble and loving pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. And we pray that, as always, as he does every day and every Thursday, he speaks through us, maybe just be mediums through which he conveys his message, his redeeming message to all our listeners and to us too, because we too, we are the first listeners of what we speak, as Swami would say. And yes, Sai Prakash, it's wonderful to have somebody like Sai Prakash in our studios for this discussion, dear listeners, because even among students, there are some who are specially privileged, whom Swami used to mention as from KG to PG. That is, they start their journey with Swami in Swami's institute, in Swami's educational institutions, in a very tender age for their kindergarten or for their primary school, and they go on to finish even their postgraduate studies. And among them, even fewer are those who continue to serve Swami in Prashanthi Nilayam. I'm sure Swami's students are serving Swami in their own way wherever they are, but few have been given the opportunity to be in His physical presence and to serve Him, and Sai Prakash is one of those fortunate. So having somebody like Sai Prakash, the discussion for today, as we have named it, is living with Bhagwan is true education. And that was the speciality of being a student of Swami. And Sai Prakash, you've been a student of Swami ever since you've been a student.
Yeah, that's true. Well, actually, it's not 100% right in the sense, because I did study in a St. Mary's school.
Okay.
Way back in Andhra, in Kottagudam, where my parents were at that time. That was LKG and UKG, because Swami's school starts from class 1. But possibly the time from which I can remember being a student, I was in Swami's school. Firstly, I would really like to offer my gratitude to my parents, because we really take no credit for joining Swami's school in class 1. It's purely their devotion to Swami.
Absolutely.
Because of which they put us in Swami's school. And it is again Swami's benevolence and Swami's mercy and His compassion, because of which we could join. In fact, in my case, there's a very interesting story. 1983, I was 4 years,
mm-hmm.
and 4 and a half or so. And my parents decided that my sister was already studying in Swami's school in Ooty at that time. And they decided they would like to put me in Swami's primary school.
Mm-hmm.
And I did quite well in the entrance and all that. and but I didn't get selected.
Okay.
I didn't get selected, and later we realized that my grandmother, who was there, she was praying to Swami that I should take 1 year extra to join in, because at that time my health was not really good. And she said, I have nothing against putting you in Swami's school, but let him get all right. Let him get healthy, and then we can put him in Swami's school. So that's how I didn't get in the first year. But possibly I was really inspired and praying to Swami in my own little way to allow me to join class one. And Swami gave the perfect opportunity. I would just like to narrate a small incident on just before the entrance exam. You know, in 1984, the Hillview Stadium that we see today, it's a nice cricket ground, which was...
1984 is really early, because I think Swami's primary school in Prashandilam was inaugurated in 1981.
So yeah, yeah. So possibly we are the third batch. Okay. That really sends shivers, because I never realized that.
Right.
And so 1984 it was. And you know, the nice cricket ground that we see today,
right,
was not there at that time. Possibly it was just a dry land like most of Puttaparthi was. In fact, that's very interesting, because at that time Puttaparthi was so dry, I get those images in my mind, and the entire hill was so bare and barren with just rocks. And over the years, how it has become so green.
Right.
That's like one.
Even now, if you drive towards Prashandilam, you can see that change in landscape.
Exactly.
Exactly. Closer to Patti, it gets greener and greener.
And very frankly, it's not by accident that such things have happened, because Swami has put conscious effort.
Right.
And Swami has made his devotees put conscious effort in making Puttaparthi green. These are certain things which tend to be overlooked. But Swami, we heard from some of the old devotees that Swami would stand there outside the mandir and make sure they go and water their coconut plants. Some of them would say, Swami, back is paining. He would not listen to an excuse. And they had to do it, and literally Swami did that. And we read in some of the letters Swami had written that, why don't you get some saplings? So anyway, coming back to the point, at that time the Hillview Stadium was just a barren land with lot of thorny shrubs and a lot of irregularities on the ground. And I think there was a Balvikas rally that was coming up in 1984,
okay,
possibly in month of November. So Swami was taking an active interest in trying to get the ground leveled.
Mm-hmm.
So there were sevadals, and as I remember, even the students.
Yeah, there was actually a dual ground, right? One
on
the lower level,
one,
and then what is now the football ground was a little higher.
Higher, exactly. Yeah. There were two levels. And later when I joined studio, I really saw some of the video clips of Swami visiting that. And I was but that was a very memorable thing for me, because Swami had suddenly unannounced. I came there as a sevadal from Tamil Nadu.
Okay.
Basically, I think my uncle or somebody,
right,
was doing seva there, and in clearing the ground, and I was along with him. So I didn't realize that Swami would visit the ground. And Swami's car was there suddenly. And so immediately, as soon as Swami's car came, alongside the road, there were two lines.
Okay.
And then Swami got down from the car, and he was distributing apples on either side. Now, it was my misfortune that I was stuck on the other side of the line.
Okay.
And I was trying to push myself in the line, and I didn't get a chance, because everybody was standing very close to each other. And Swami was giving apples on this side and that side, and I was wondering, Swami, how am I going to catch you? But the line soon ended, and there I just came in and stood there at the end of the line. And Swami came and gave a very beautiful smile, and then I just, it came from within. I said, Swami, please give me an opportunity to join in your school.
Okay.
Swami said, oh, you want to join in Swami's school? Very good, chala santosham, chala santosham. And he gave me an apple as well. So I think that was his divine grace, and that's how I actually joined primary school. I mean,
I mean, as you said, you know, we have some really beautiful footage of those days when Swami used to go around distributing apples.
Yeah, actually, it's all taken by Prabhakar sir,
right,
you know, from the maths department. There is a shot of Swami actually catching those apples and throwing it to the people,
right,
and to the students and to the elders who were there. And you can see that, that mischievous laugh on Swami's smile when somebody drops the apple. Because there's actually a shot of Swami Karinananda trying to catch the apple, and Swami is making a lot of fun. He says, you don't know how to catch an apple.
Yeah, I don't.
But, But one thing was, one thing which was really spectacular was the way Swami was throwing it. You know, it would directly reach to the hands of...
Right. Yeah, actually I remember a scene, when I was in undergraduate in Vrindavan. That was a time when the hospital in Bangalore was coming up, the super specialty hospital. And one particular day Swami used to come on the first floor of Trayi Vrindavan after the aarti was over, when the Loka Samastha, those days it was Loka Samastha, was being chanted. And that day when Swami came up, as you said, that mischievous smile, and all of us were expecting something to happen. And Swami came there and Swami said, "Where are the hospital boys?"
Okay.
So immediately we all, just moved a step back, and these hospital boys stepped in. So there was an inner circle where these boys were standing, and we all just parted away. And you can see Swami is standing straight with his hands behind.
Okay.
And Swami asked, "Have all the hospital boys come?"
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly from nowhere we saw camera just coming.
Okay. Yeah, there's a high balcony.
Yeah, there's a high railing kind
railing,
of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So Swami's hand, there was no movement, and suddenly we saw an arch and a camera coming.
Amazing.
And all through, Swami threw all the cameras without even lifting his hand, keeping it under the parapet wall and throwing that way.
That's great. So that footage, actually seeing Swami throwing those apples and all, kind of nostalgic. Of course, not that I remember anything else from that day when I asked Swami whether I can join his school. But the whole memory of that is so sweet. And so that's how I happened to join primary school.
And even as you recollect that particular incident of even the footage which we have, the students are surprisingly dressed in khaki
dress. Yes, that's true.
Not in white.
Possibly Swami would have given them.
Right, and I remember, we have an alumnus by name Raghunandan,
yes,
who is a chartered accountant now. He was recollecting, maybe it's the same year, because he was in the school that time. One day Swami called all of them and said, "Boys, tomorrow onwards, no darshan for you.
Oh.
Okay, don't come to Mandir for darshan."
Okay.
They all felt really sad that Swami is telling them this. And then Swami said, "See, there is a rally which is going to be there in the Hillview Stadium.
Okay.
The stadium has to be leveled.
Yes.
So all of you shall go there. Instead of coming here after college, after school and college, you would go there and start the leveling work." So they said, "Okay, Swami wants this to be done, then at the cost of darshan, you don't have a choice."
Okay.
Because the ultimate idea is to make Swami happy with whatever you do. So he said, then it turned out that this was even better than coming for darshan.
because Swami would go there.
Because barely would they break a stone, and they would see Swami driving into the stadium.
Oh,
Swami
lovely.
Would,
yeah.
A namesake darshan in the mandir, and Swami would come off, to the Hillview Stadium.
Correct.
So he was saying that it used to happen every day. Swami would come and distribute these apples and all. One day, Swami had brought along with him a politician who had come to come for Swami's darshan.
Mm-hmm.
So, those days, anybody who comes, Swami would bring them to the primary school. Swami would bring them to the labs in the university.
Correct.
So he said, "My boys are working there. Come, we'll go and see them."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so got this person, Swami brought him in his car. And in those days, where you have this Vidyagiri arch, I'm sure you will have very vivid images of that,
yes,
those pictures. You could see the ground from the Vidyagiri arch.
Very true, very true, because there were no trees.
There were no trees. And beyond primary school, there were no buildings.
Exactly, exactly.
So, Swami entered through that Vidyagiri arch, and Swami pointed out and see, "Do you see the ground there? Do you see my boys working there?"
Okay.
Okay, and this politician was seeing.
Mm.
And the moment Swami entered the compound of the stadium,
okay,
the message spread that Swami's car has come. Somebody had sighted Swami's car, and there was a shout, and it went passed around to the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody threw the spades and the and the equipment which they were using. They threw everything, and they all started running towards the car, and they formed the path. And Swami got down, and Swami told something very, very beautiful. He looked at the politician they made this very, very profound, but at the same time, a very jestful remark. And Swami said, "See the difference between work in your place and work in my place." Swami told him,
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, "See, in your offices, The whole day they don't do any work. But the moment they see you, they start doing work.
Okay.
He said, see, my boys, they work so hard when I'm not there. The moment they see me, they throw everything and come to me.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, that speaks volumes of, I mean, it's the divine attraction. And that scene is so vivid in my imagination and my memory. Because it has happened so many times. You're sitting and having food in the dining hall. Suddenly they say, Swami is coming, and plates, tumblers go flying in the dining hall. Everybody rushes to the gate to see Swami returning from Vrindavan or so. But, you know, just to digress a little bit, there's something which came to my mind which is very sweet, where, especially when Swami comes back from Vrindavan.
Okay.
You know, those days there was no security jeep in front of Swami's car, and there was nothing to announce Swami's arrival. And sometimes he would come back around 6:30, 7:30 at night. And we would never know. Because any two lights shining in the horizon, we all would run to the road and see it's not Swami's car. But you know, Sai Geeta was living right opposite the hostel at that time. And after a couple of visits this way, we realized, let us concentrate on Sai Geeta. Because she had no cell phone, she had no wireless communication. And she had no police talk back, nothing. But she knew exactly when Swami's car would come. She would be calmly seated or standing in her shed. The moment she would start moving towards the gate, we knew that would be Swami's car.
My God.
I mean, that heart-to-heart connection with Sai Geeta had with Swami was amazing. So when Swami would come back from Vrindavan, she would just start coming to the road, and seeing her, we would go to the road. And sure enough, that would be Swami.
And it's such a beautiful thing that Swami had placed Sai Geeta right opposite the, you know, boys' hostel in those days. I think there couldn't have been a better example than her in devotion.
Exactly. Coming back to the topic, living with God is true education. I mean, everything is an education. Everything is an education. I remember Swami telling sometimes, you drink Sai Geeta's urine, you will get some bhakti, some devotion. I mean, there's no limit to it. I mean, her devotion is really amazing. And as it, education is not something confined to the school and institute. Living with God is really education. So that's how I joined primary school. And I'm sure all the students would have their own stories, and so many of them would have.
Especially the first day.
First day of primary school.
Without parents.
That is something I would really like to, you know, thinking about it now, there is something very small and very simple that happened on the first day of my joining primary school. But it's so clear in my mind, because when I think of it now, it's a lesson for a lifetime. In a different sense. Because, see, we were there, and there was a lot of crying, and of course, at 5, we really miss our parents, and not necessarily the class 1, even the class 2, class 3 children, all of them were crying to leave their parents, and all that was going on. And the first dinner at primary school, suddenly the power went off.
Mm-hmm.
So we all were seated there.
Can you imagine thousands, a few hundred children?
At that time, about 400 or 450 students.
And pitch dark.
And before we as children realized that, you know, it's really pitch dark, and before we could start panicking, the seniors and the elders, as was the practice, started singing a song which went like, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Rama. It was just Sai Ram. And in an instant, the whole dining hall was so calm, and there was this song going on. Those who knew it sang.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I think of it, it just kind of tells me that whenever you have a problem, just chant his name. And that is something which was, you know, very unconsciously got into our system. Just by in the first day of joining primary school, this happened, and it just happened that way. And that's the power of what you absorb. And you know, when you're young, you absorb a few things which stay with you all through your life. And this was one very beautiful thing that happened.
And that's really one of these beautiful things. I mean, when we were students, we used to have the opportunity to interact with some of these primary school children during the vacation. Some of them used to come and stay back and for Swami's darshan. What was really, you know, enchanting for us, you know, what really attracted us was how Swami was part of their life in play, in prayer, in work, in everything.
Very true, very true.
I know I have had the experience that these children will come and sit next to you. They might have a small toy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they, play also will be like that. This is Swami's car. Swami's sitting inside. Okay, and this is our primary school. Swami's coming inside.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful. I mean, at their age, maybe they don't realize how fortunate they are that, Swami has become so much a part of their life. And I remember once, one summer vacation, one primary school boy, Swami asked him, what do you want to become? Mm-hmm. When you grow up, what do you want to become? So he told Swami that, Swami, I want to be a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Swami blessed him and walked away. Then we called him and he said, why pilot? What gave you the idea that being a pilot is very nice?
Mm-hmm.
So, he said, see, now Swami is 75 years old. Mm-hmm. That time Swami was 75.
Mm-hmm.
He said, by the time I grow up and become old, mm-hmm. Swami also would have become old.
Okay.
So that time Swami cannot travel in a car.
Wow.
Okay, from place to place. So I want to be a pilot so I can pilot Swami around.
Amazing, amazing. I think it's just the atmosphere of the school, the teachers, undoubtedly the teachers. I mean, it's really such a challenge for children at 5 to leave their parents and stay with a group of other children. The teachers have to take the place of mothers. And they really, in which other school you see the principal of the school coming, making sure you brush your teeth, putting oil, giving you baths, putting vibhuti for you every day. And especially on morning darshan days, she's there right from morning taking care that every student is groomed well because we are going for darshan. I mean, these were things which we took for granted at that time. But the more and more we think of, it's just amazing to find such an atmosphere which is built due to the dedication of the people around there.
Exactly. And the thing which Swami says that your devotion to Swami will reflect in the perfection of your actions.
Exactly.
I think that is what showed in all these teachers, the primary school teachers and the school and university teachers, because what they were doing for us was out of their love for Swami, actually.
Actually, it's not to make anybody feel bad or so, but this is what Swami actually told in Kodaikanal when we were there. He said, the students who study from primary school in my school, they are my students, my children. And he said, they are like fresh, tender plankton leaves in which you have pancha baksha paramanam.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word he used was. It's like a fresh plankton leaf in which all sorts of delicious items are served. And if you offer it to God, then your life is sanctified. So he said, offering your youth, offering your childhood and your youth to God is like offering a fresh plankton leaf served with all the delicious items. But in many cases, unfortunately, what he said is, you lead your life, then you go, you retire, and then you finally think of God. He said it's like a leaf on which all the food is eaten by different people, and what is remaining, the leaf is torn, and it's all disturbed. And that time you're trying to offer it to God. So he said, children who have come to me from primary school, they are like fresh plankton leaves. That was something I wouldn't say we claim we are, but that is what we should become.
So that's the beauty of coming to Swami in such a young age.
That's the...
Right?
See, unconsciously, it gets into you. And the transition of trying to know who Swami is, trying to understand who Swami is something so unique with each and every person. Each and every person has his own direct experiences with Swami. So that speaks for them and it stands with them through their life. And right now, Swami is not physically with us, but I'm sure it's continuing.
Absolutely.
It's continuing, and everybody, if they want it, if they are seriously asking for it, Swami is responding to them. I'm sure the students will be having fantastic experiences even now.
I'm sure, and we just hope that one day we will get to document those things too.
Because
as you said, even when Swami was there, a good amount of those experiences were happening with Swami's omnipresence.
True, very true.
There were only a section of them, because Swami interacted with so many people, and that itself is something which is so awe-inspiring, that how one person could physically touch so many lives. But even without even discounting that fact,
mm-hmm.
even when Swami was there, there were a number of people whom Swami touched in a very subtle level, and I think all through, that was what Swami was trying to do. Swami was standing in front of us as divinity so that, you know, you would love him so much and you would desire for him so much that you would discover him inside.
See, that's the point. According to me, the greatest, blessing that we have is Swami has stood and kept himself as the fulfillment of all goodness. I mean, your teachers would tell, you know, be truthful, be good, be loving, don't fight in the school level. And when you followed those, Swami would show you that he is happy with you for following right. that. So the reward for action was available as a physical gesture from Swami, as a physical pat, as a physical word. And now when you look at it, we are looking to Swami who is within us. Yes, his physical form is not here, but when we do something good, we know that Swami will be happy with this. He would always say, before thoughts you cannot control. Thoughts are passing clouds. They come and go, you cannot control. But actions you can control. Before you perform any action, think, will Swami like this or not? So simple. Will Swami like this or not? If you think Swami will like it, then go ahead and perform it. If you think Swami will not like it, then don't do it. So simple, but so profound. And that's the way.
I mean, it's really, that's the case. You know, the other day, I had the opportunity to speak to a primary school teacher, and she was sharing this, you know, the two children were fighting, and as all happens with little children, I think they started calling each other names, saying pig and donkey and all that.
Okay.
So one of these kids came and complained to the teacher saying that he's calling me names like this. Okay, and the teacher just wanted to know, why aren't you calling names back? Uh-huh. Why aren't you calling him the same names he's calling? Mm-hmm. He said, no, auntie, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Swami doesn't like it.
Okay.
He's doing a mistake. I cannot do the same mistake and displease Swami.
Amazing, amazing.
And these happen without any effort.
Exactly.
It is not like that boy has been trained or taught to do this.
That's true. Many people have an impression that everything about how we should speak, what we should do is taught and spoon-fed in primary school. But really, it's not that way. And it's the entire environment that is there that inspires such feelings in children. You know, speaking of that, this kind of attitude or this kind of a conviction that every act I'm doing is a dedication to Swami. If you think of it differently, that's what the Bhagavad Gita taught us.
Right.
See, Bhagavad Gita in its 700 shlokas, Swami says, Mama Dharma. And Swami taught it to us in such a simple and beautiful way. You know, by the way, when we were in primary school, Swami was very, very insistent, and he would love listening to Bhagavad Gita chants. In fact, now the students who are there, they learn Vedam. But right. when we were in primary, a core group of boys and girls, they would learn Vedam. Okay. And it was not compulsory for the entire school okay. at that time. But Swami wanted to hear the entire school chanting Bhagavad Gita. That was something which he loved. And
I mean, the entire Bhagavad Gita you would...
No, not the entire Bhagavad Gita. We were taught chapter 12, that okay. is Bhakti Yoga. And chapter 2 from a particular point where it speaks about Sthita Prajna and the characteristics of Sthita Prajna. And even now I know it by heart. Chapter 12 and few shlokas from chapter 2. From 54th shloka of chapter 2 or something. So that Bhagavad Gita chanting, now it has become part of us. Chapter 12, if you see, the entire chapter 12 says, Who is the one who is dear to me? A devotee with these characteristics, a devotee right. with this guy. Yomad bhakta same priya, yomad bhakta same priya. Yasmano dujite loko, lokano dujite. So each shloka is so beautiful. And then if we just have to follow that, we know we are dear to Swami. So every act of ours will Swami like it or not? Every word of ours, will Swami like it or not? And then he taught us the Bhagavad Gita by which you can fall back and then try to practice that and get close to him.
Brilliant. I think some point you would look back and say, why only the second chapter and why only this chapter?
Exactly.
And it will really strike you like what Swami exactly wants out of us in any situation. And this is something, talking about this Sthita Prajna, there is something very dear to Swami. Swami would always say the sign of a devotee is one who is unperturbed.
In fact, that's what he has mentioned in his letter to his brother. Sesham right. Raju. He says, I have my own definition of a devotee.
Absolutely.
One who is not elated with joy. And I don't know the exact words, but it comes to the same effect. I mean, that is, I would say, the minimum Swami can expect from us, if at all he has any expectations.
Beautiful. There is a lot more to speak about, and I'm sure we will have lovely incidents to narrate some of the points which you made, Sir Pripesh. I think before that, before we bore too much our listeners, let's take a short break.
Sure, that would be really welcome.
I'll play a little song. Just talking about primary school, it should be a song related to the primary school. I'm going to play a primary school sports meet song.
Okay.
Okay, so at the end of it, we'll continue this
fantastic,
really beautiful discussion we're having.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're with me, Prem, from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Sai Prakash. And we are talking about the most beautiful days of his life. And I think it's beautiful even to listen about it. And he's taking us back to his wonderful primary school days and the lovely lessons that Swami taught all of them. Sai Prakash, you made a statement that, you know, Swami actually was there as a reward for your efforts.
Very true.
So I think, would you like to narrate some nice incidents where, you know...
Yes, in fact, I would like to, because this is something which inspires me even today when I think of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those days, as was Swami's regular practice, before the discourse, Swami would have a group of students chanting Vedam. And as I mentioned earlier, it was not compulsory for all the students at that time, right, when we were studying. So a core group of boys who were actually learning Vedam. And I happened to be in that group because when I joined class 1, I already knew a little bit of Vedam and shlokas and all that. So I happened to be in that group. But, and from the time I joined, that would be possibly in June, till about October when Dashara comes, I had managed to learn Durga Suktam.
Okay.
Now, the whole focus was Durga Suktam is what will be chanted for Dashara, and I would really like to be a part of the Vedam group at that time. And so I don't remember how I did it, but I must have pestered the Vedam teacher and somehow learned Durga Suktam at that time. And that scene is so clear in my mind. It's just above the staircase in primary school. As we enter the e-dormitory, there is a small pathway there. And all the Vedam boys were told to stand there.
Okay.
And so they were saying, yes, we are going to chant Durga Suktam, so you can participate in. Mm-hmm. And I was absolutely thrilled and we were chanting. Then suddenly there was a discussion and the teacher came and said, no, we are not going to chant Durga Suktam. We are going to chant Mantra Pushpam.
Okay.
And for a second, my heart stopped beating and I said, oh my God, now I don't know Mantra Pushpam and I won't be a part of the Vedam group. And she saw the kind of pain and that sadness that I had on my face. And but she said, don't worry, you're just in class 1, you know, you have another 6 years to go. And don't worry, you'll get other occasions, other opportunities. I said, okay, and I just moved away. But, you know, I came running to our class 1 classroom. And there was a very beautiful photo of Swami, you know, where he's sitting on the ground with cross leg. And I don't know where that photo was taken. Possibly in Delhi or Shimla sometime. So that photo was hung above the blackboard. And I just came running into class 1 and closed the door and latched it from inside. And I sat there looking at Swami and literally weeping.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Swami, I wanted to really be part of this Vedam group. And that's why I learned this Durga Suktam. Now suddenly this thing has been changed. It must have just been about 5 to 6 minutes. I was just praying. Suddenly there was a knock on the door. And I was a bit taken aback because I thought somebody is going to take me to task for locking the room and all that. So when I came, that Vedam teacher was so happy. She came and said, no, we are going to chant Durga Suktam again. So you are back in the team. It was such a small incident at that time, but I realized that prayer, how it immediately touches Swami's heart. And that day was so special for me, because that evening when we went, for those who remember how Poonachandra Hall stage was earlier, there was a set of center steps. Swami would use the steps to climb up and climb down.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to actually come from the side where the, you know, the Devi Puja is done.
Doing
Dashara. So we had to come up from that side. And I didn't know any of that. And I was the first one, because I was in class when I was the shortest. After the Vedam chanting, so I went and Swami gave me a nice tap on my head and I took Namaskar. And I was so elated and I didn't realize what I was doing. I came and I started walking down the steps from the center of the stage. All the others knew that they had to go from the side.
Okay.
And there was a lot of shoo-shoo and all that. They were trying to catch my attention. But Swami from the stage said, don't worry, let him go from there. I mean, that's such a wonderful memory. But what is more important is how Swami immediately responds to your prayers. And because he responds to your prayers immediately, you get that faith that he's actually listening to your prayers. And I've had a couple of those experiences even later as a student. And that keeps me in good stead, because throughout your life you know that Swami is there.
Absolutely. And as it said, you know, the proof of the pudding lies in the eating. Because, you know, you can teach a child prayer and say that prayer works.
Correct.
But here was Swami actually making it work and, you know, proving it to you. Like, it really works and it's something you can have your life.
See, it's not... the beauty is, everything is done with so much love. And it's done so spontaneously, you don't even realize that such a beautiful thing has happened. You know, faith... Yes, I remember some students asking Swami much later, Swami, how to develop faith in you? And this is one of my favorite things when I keep thinking of it.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, you cannot develop faith in me.
Okay.
So they were taken aback. Swami said, it's not that you can develop faith in me. Either you have faith or you don't have faith. So beautiful. And Swami often compares it to swimming. He says, you know, you want the experience. How will you get the experience unless you, if you stand on the alongside the swimming pool and say, let me have the experience of swimming and then I will plunge into the water. No. In a way, thinking of it now, it's like that. Because we didn't know who Swami was. Our parents knew it. And they put us in Swami school. So we took the plunge. We took the plunge, and because of that, you know, the sweetness, the beauty, and Swami has touched our lives for and changed it forever. So that first act of actually going into is something we should take.
In talking about faith, that incident you said, developing faith. I remember on another occasion, the students asked Swami, Swami, how do we develop unwavering faith?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And the spontaneous answer was, if it is wavering, it's not faith.
It's not faith. the questions may be many, but answer is one.
There is no wavering faith and unwavering faith.
So it's not like on Monday I'm having 20% faith, Tuesday, Thursday I'll have 50% faith. It's not possible. And Swami says, faith is faith. That's
right.
It.
Beautiful. And you know, even as you were narrating of how Swami proved that prayer works, I'm reminded of a very beautiful incident which one of my juniors narrated. And
okay.
I heard it when he narrated it in Swami's presence and the Saikulunt Hall. You know, he said, I think he had come for birthday blessings or something on that day,
mm-hmm.
which was a special privilege for the school and university
Correct.
Students those days. So I think on that day, Swami had, for some reason, had gone earlier into this interview room.
Mm-hmm.
So the usual opportunity the boys have of being blessed by Swami was not there.
Okay.
Swami had gone up into the interview room and it looked like more likely that Swami would come for bhajans and then go away. So
mm-hmm.
this boy wanted to be blessed, and a little boy, second or third standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he was, and on that morning, mm-hmm. in one of his classes, a teacher had told him that faith can move mountains.
Okay.
She was talking about that quotation and she said, faith can move mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sitting there with his birthday tray and wanting to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Swami, it seems faith can move mountains. Okay, if I have the faith that you will come and bless me, mm-hmm. then you will definitely come and bless me. So it almost became like a mantra for him. So he kept on telling, faith can move mountains, faith
wow.
can move mountains, faith mm. can move mountains. Swami will come and bless me.
Mm.
Okay, and for half an hour to 1 hour, he went on doing this. And suddenly he found the interview room door opening.
Uh-huh.
And Swami came straight to him,
mm.
stood in front of him, and with a very beautiful Swami smile, Swami said, faith can move mountains.
Wow.
And Swami blessed him.
That's amazing. That's amazing. But, you know... that's amazing to hear that, but I had a similar experience.
Okay.
And this is really, for me, it's really amazing. Because earlier, you know, after the darshan, Swami would take people for interview. Once the interview was done, and once the Swami sent the people back to the darshan from the interview room,
mm-hmm.
Swami would come and stand on the veranda, and then he would just give a smile. And then you would see that whole, you know, all of us would rush to him. And there have been instances where Swami is, you know, standing in the center of this entire pralaya, I would say. And in those days there was sand. So, you know, sand, half the sand will come onto the veranda. And we would rush and sit there. And then Swami would speak to us and speak to a few boys, what is it? In fact, so I remember Swami asking one boy, Swami, where are you from? Italy. Mm-hmm. Ah, Italy. Do you eat what breakfast? Swami, idli. Oh, idli is Italian egg. Something like that. He would just...
Some small chat.
Some small chat. He would come to your... Swami, my leg is paining. I said, oh, really? Go to Chitravati, put it there and come back. Then once, because you're having leg, your leg is paining. You leave that leg. So, you know, he would... But on that day, Swami was... we had actually come up to the veranda. Swami spoke a little bit to a few in the front. And Swami, I was in my third standard at the time. And so I got a place where Swami's interview room is, the window is, right outside the interview room. And there is a lotus in the base. Mm-hmm. And that is where generally the ladies would sit when Swami would call them for an interview.
Okay.
So I was seated there. And Swami went into the interview room. And, you know, naturally you start wondering, looking here and there. And I just looked at the interview room and the light was on inside.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Swami, if I'm sitting outside, how am I to know what is inside? I want to see how the interview room looks.
Okay.
Not even to me see and speak to Swami at that time. I was so curious to know how the interview room looks.
I mean, I can imagine that scene, because sitting there, you would see people being so happy to
exactly.
be invited into that room and
exactly.
coming out
exactly
and glowing.
As I remember it in primary school days, it has happened on many occasions when we see somebody going in a wheelchair and coming out walking. And we would all clap and we would make it. But I remember doing it so many times.
Really?
It was almost like a common, a regular affair. Because many times you would see people going in wheelchair, and you know, there was a step at that time, there was no ramps. From the sand they would go up, there was a ramp. Then they had to lift the wheelchair. We would see them struggling to take the patient inside. But when they would come out, the person, of course with a little bit of difficulty, the person would walk. But nevertheless he would walk. And so anyway, coming back to the story, I was thinking, what is in that interview room? So I was praying, Swami, I want to see what is inside that interview room. And suddenly there was and then Swami came out from the interview room and he stood on the portico at the corner and he said, Prakash, he called out.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, this is not happening. And but it was actually happening.
Okay.
And Swami just, mine was the first name Swami called.
Mm-hmm.
I was so thrilled. And
third standard.
Third standard. And I was numb, actually numb. Like I just got up, I was numb. And then Swami said, come on. So I went. Then Swami called a few others. I remember Sai Mukundan was one, Anuj Mehta was one, few others Swami called, and we went into the interview room. And I remember standing right next to Swami's chair. It had a beautiful peacock carving on the
right. head.
So I was holding that peacock and seeing its beauty and admiring it. And Swami put his hand on my hand. That wow. scene just stays in your mind. And very beautifully Swami spoke a couple of things. And Swami asked me, sing a bhajan. I said, manasa bhajare. And soft, not so loud. And Swami spoke to the others and then gave a nice pat on the cheek and then sent me back. So that incident, I mean, the way he responds to you, spontaneously he responds, that's really amazing.
Really, and even as you're saying this, you know, reminded of a very very sweet incident which one of my classmates narrated, and
okay.
it happened to his sister.
Okay.
Okay. And she, I mean, it's a very regular thing that Swami comes and asks what breakfast you had.
Correct. So almost every Thursday.
Literally, Swami used to be so particular. And it's okay, it's a birthday, it's a breakfast incident.
Mm-hmm.
This girl particularly hated noodles.
Okay.
And she somehow detested noodles. And one particular day she was, you know, a little more hungry than usual during breakfast time. And she was waiting for the bell to go and have breakfast. So the moment the bell was given, she went running to the dining hall and to her utter shock, she saw that noodles was being served that day.
Okay.
She was so upset, you know, she was saying, he was saying that, you know, she started crying and that anger.
Mm.
So she ran and hid herself in the bathroom, latched the door and she started crying.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Swami, this is really cruel of you. I'm so hungry and you know I hate noodles. And you know, in that anger, she just told Swami that if you really want us to eat, you come and eat it yourself.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And she well knew that, you know, even Swami was not very fond of noodles.
That's true.
Because whenever Swami would ask, what's the breakfast, and if he has noodles, Swami would say, worms.
Ah, yes. No, very beautifully he would ask, because I have witnessed that. He would say, what is breakfast? There's your Swami, noodles. Noodles means what? There was one boy from Darjeeling, one year senior to me. I remember that scene where he gets up and he says, Swami, it will be long, Swami. It will be long. Long means how it will be. And he said, Swami, thin it will be. Then Swami said, like worms it will be. He said, yes, Swami. So you had earthworms for breakfast?
Exactly. Swami said, Purugulu.
Purugulu, you would say. And really.
Okay, so I think she had that idea that Swami himself was not very fond of the idea of noodles.
Okay.
So she said, if you really want us to have, you come and have it yourself. Okay, and she had hardly said it in her mind and she heard some commotion. So she ran out of the bathroom and she saw that all the children were running towards the main portico.
Yeah, that was a regular feature.
Right.
No, unannounced, Swami would suddenly come.
Exactly.
The moment Swami comes, Swami, and from wherever we are, we would just run. That was really...
Right. So, you know, that commotion, and she heard everybody running, so she also ran.
Okay.
And in the quadrangle, Swami was standing, and the children and all the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami came, stood in the center, and Swami asked, what is the breakfast today?
Mm.
So then the warden auntie came and said, Swami, it's noodles.
Okay.
And again, Puruglu. Okay, tiskora chustamu, Swami said. Let's see how it is.
Mm.
So immediately they got in a plate, a serving of the noodles. And Swami just took and had one spoon.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And in that crowd of a few hundred children, Swami looked exactly at this girl. And Swami said, now all of you have.
Oh.
And went back.
Amazing.
And you know, these are things... They are small, but you know, they are as big as they are small.
Exactly.
Because you will never forget an incident like this. And you know that, you know, it's just that Swami knows every thought which is going through your mind.
And
he may choose to respond to a few and to show you that, you know, he's... But you know that every thought has reached him.
No, that's the point. Because for all that we know, he must have come all the way from Mandir to the school only for this little girl. I mean, to what extent Swami went? Of course, in His divine plan, He will achieve so many things in that one act of His.
Exactly.
But for that girl, it meant everything.
And nobody is too small in His scheme of things.
Nobody is too small. The way He would really, you know, I'm sure it must have been repeated a couple of times on Radio Sai, but what I heard from people about what Mr. Raman Rao sir spoke, kind of gives us a totally new dimension when you think of Swami.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this must have been in late 50s or early 60s. Swami would actually go and distribute Amrit to all the devotees.
Vaikunth Ekadasi. Yeah.
And you know, on one of such occasions, Swami was giving the Amrit and there was quite a big crowd. So Swami's, you know, robe was actually wet with sweat and he was kind of looking quite exhausted. And on normal days he would come out in the afternoon at 3.
Okay.
At 3 he would come out and he would come ready for darshan.
Mm-hmm.
But on that day they thought, Mr. Raman Rao and another gentleman who were there, they said, I think Swami would take a little more rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were waiting there, but at 3 o'clock, Swami opened the door and there he was, absolutely brilliant and absolutely fresh, ready to go for darshan. So, Raman Rao sir took the courage of telling Swami, morning you are so tired and this thing, Swami, why don't you take some more rest? Swami said, chi. Then he said, Swami, please, Swami, after some time, then Swami said, what about the devotees? Bhaktulu vachar kada, Swami said. He said, yes, Swami, devotees have come. They will wait, even if you are about 5 minutes later, they will wait. Swami said, Raman Rao, you have not understood anything. And he was taken aback. What is Swami trying to say? He said, see, they are not coming for my darshan, I am going for their darshan. This was too much for him to digest, and he was new to Swami at that time, and he said, Swami, this is too much. Then Swami immediately, as if a reflex to his thought, mm-hmm. he looked at him sternly and asked, you don't believe me?
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe me? Then he said, Swami, then Swami said, see, when I say Prema Swarupalara, when I say Divyatma Swarupalara, I believe it. I believe it and then say it. It's not just for sake of saying. I don't say it just for sake of saying. So what I do is, I see myself in everybody. So because he sees himself in everybody when he's interacting with a primary school kid, he sees himself there. And so there's 100% attention and 100% synergy. And you think that Swami has taken an avatar only for your sake. Because he relates one-on-one with every individual, be it the Prime Minister or the President, how, you know, Narasimhamurthy sir would often say, that how Swami would, Shankar Dayal Sharma was a great devotee of Swami, right, when he was a president. I was eyewitness to one of those incidents,
mm-hmm.
when Swami called, he had come on a visit. I was in my high secondary school at that time. Swami was in the veranda, and so he's the president of India, mm-hmm. and Swami said, go inside the interview room. And his wife, she is the first lady. Swami told her also to go inside. So they both were inside. Swami went to the door of the interview room, peeped into the interview room. Idhar jagda karo, both of you.
Both of you have your fights.
Both of you have your fights. And he just closed it, and he was beaming, you know, so exuberant, and he was smiling. He just closed the interview room door, and he was looking at us, and all of us were just burst into laughter. But who can tell that to the president of this country? Who can? It is only Swami, because how beautifully he, you know, syncs with each one. How beautifully he, comes to each one's level. And that synergy, that whole, he sees himself in each one. That's the ultimate. I mean, when he says, when I say that, I mean it. It's not that I simply say.
Exactly. In fact, in one occasion, Swami is telling that, because I believe in all that I say,
correct.
I believe in all that you say also. Mm. So Swami said, when you come to me and say, Swami, I'm your devotee, I have surrendered to you.
Mm.
Swami said, my grace will come to you in full because I believe you completely.
Beautiful.
But when you come to me, you don't believe your own words, so you don't believe my words.
Correct.
When I tell you I will protect you at every moment of your life, because you don't, you know, stick to your words, you don't believe my words also.
Very true.
So Swami said, that is the problem with your devotion.
It has nothing to do with him. See, in my opinion, one of the best definitions of God is what is said in Telugu, Yanta matramu yavvaru talachina, anta matrame neevu.
Exactly.
You say, to whatever level you can comprehend Swami. I mean, nobody can comprehend him completely. So Swami would often say, you increase the size of your container. God is always there. He's always giving. So to what level you can comprehend him, he reveals only that much to you. if you can, to the munis and to the sages, he reveals himself to a different level. To a primary school kid, he reveals himself at a different level. I mean, but everything is based on love.
And it's all based on divine intoxication and addiction, I think.
Exactly.
Like, you know, little bit Swami reveals, and then you're so enamored by it, and you want more and more and more.
That
itself lays your path towards him.
Only with God, I think this endless desire of wanting more and more, I mean, that is one desire we are allowed to have, I would say. If other desires are counterproductive, that is one desire which you can really have.
Right.
And go ahead.
And you know, just talking about Swami responding to thoughts, Swami responding, you know, it's a fact that Swami is omnipresent, omnipotent, but those moments are so sweet when he wants to reveal to you that I'm always with you. You know, I'm reminded of one incident which one of our seniors once narrated to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those days, Swami used to be a practice when Swami was sending off boys during vacations.
Mm-hmm.
Swami would call them and give them instructions.
Okay.
Sometimes individual and personalized for each one.
Okay.
So this boy was told that, you know, hey, when you go home, don't watch TV.
Okay.
Okay, very, very strictly and sternly, Swami said, don't watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, it was not a problem because he didn't have a television that time. You know, this was in early 80s.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There was no television at home.
Mm-hmm.
And even the television of those days had very little programs to, you know, distract a youngster.
Correct.
So, I mean, he said, okay, Swami. And he was a very sincere boy and he wanted to do something which would please Swami. And, you know, those days, because Swami used to interact so much,
mm-hmm.
you had to be clean to come and face Swami.
Very true.
You know, you cannot do something and, you know, you would cut a sorry figure of yourself.
In fact, that would stop you from going.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so he said, definitely, Swami. He gave his word, I will not watch TV and all that. And after the vacation he spent at home, and he went to his brother's house for a few days.
Okay.
And there they had a TV.
Oh.
Okay. And he made sure that he never saw the TV till the end of the stay.
Mm-hmm.
And the day he was leaving the house, mm-hmm. he was saying that he had picked up his luggage and he was stepping out of the house when somebody switched on the TV.
Oh.
Okay. And that sound distracted him, you know. Suddenly some sound. And so he just turned and he said, oh, the TV. And he walked up.
Okay.
Okay. So he comes back. He comes back to Parthi. And that day Swami comes to him and Swami is very angry. Swami said, I told you and you went and saw TV.
Oh my.
Okay. And this person was saying that, you know, when you follow Swami very meticulously, you get a kind of ego and pride.
That's true.
He was saying, I was filled with that ego. He said, no, Swami, I never, you know, digress from your discipline. I did not see TV. He said, no, you saw TV. I told you not to see and you saw TV.
Oh.
He said, no, Swami, I did not see TV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Swami described that whole scene.
Wow.
Swami said, okay, second ka chusav kada, you saw for that 1 second.
Oh my God.
Okay. He was so surprised. And then, you know, Swami patted him and said, I know, I'm very, very happy with you. I wanted to show you that I'm with you every moment.
My God, Swami, if you had told me not to see TV, that's really. But, you know, incidents like these, where Swami chooses to reveal his omnipresence. See, it's not always that he does that.
Right.
There are many times when some things happen and you know it is Swami. And you know that otherwise it would have been humanly impossible. But certain times he reveals. And certain times he just keeps it as, keeps it silent. One thing which always kind of Swami would look forward to is group activity.
Mm-hmm.
See, individual, imagine the power of prayer, of an individual doing his prayer. Like, for example, there was one boy in my class when we came up to the higher secondary. Like, Swami was not speaking to him.
Okay.
So he said, Swami, till you speak to me, I will not have food.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be one Hanuman Chalisa room. I remember there. Later became the dietary services room, right next to the dining hall.
Okay.
So he was sitting there and then thinking and maybe chanting Hanuman Chalisa. Swami sent word from the mandir, one boy sitting in the room, tell him to go and have food.
Okay.
I mean, something like this is so sweet, but Swami was there. But if one individual's prayer is so powerful, what about community prayer? What about a group prayer? That's you know, I'm sure that will have its own power. And Swami always says, Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, all of you come together and chant it. The power of that prayer is so immense. There are a couple of incidents which come to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we really prayed very hard as a group, and Swami is an ocean of compassion, and how he responded. You know, this is something very beautiful. When we were in our ninth class, I was in my ninth class, just shifted to the high secondary school, and Swami was due to visit the hostel.
Mm-hmm.
And the hostel had about 450 or 500 students, and the dining hall was quite small, so all of them could not be accommodated for the morning suprabhatam.
Mm-hmm.
The dining sessions and all were done in batches, so there was no problem. It was very funny because you would hear two bells. You would not know whether this bell is for the institute boys.
I think that itself was a very, very unique setup, you know. Where
in fact, Swami was so proud of
it. From 8th standard
to
PhD research scholars
Swami
in the same hostel.
Swami was so proud of it, he would say, he would call VIPs and say, see, this boy is 8th class. This boy is PhD. All of them are staying in the same hostel. So at that time, but unfortunately for the morning suprabhatam, we could not sit together in the dining hall because it was very small at that time. And we had our own puja room upstairs in third floor. One of the rooms, living rooms, was modified into an altar, and we would have our suprabhatam there.
Mm-hmm.
Eighth and ninth class boys. So when Swami is actually visiting hostel, we suddenly thought, why not Swami call Swami to our puja room?
Okay.
To our prayer hall.
In the third floor.
And this idea just came amongst us, and then we said, oh, we should make it ready, we should make the whole place ready, we should clean up and all that. And our teachers are always encouraging. Ramon sir, Venkateshwar sir, who are there, the wing teachers at that time.
Who are still there around.
Who are still around and were still inspiring.
Swami.
That's really amazing. So they said, oh, yes, yes, we should do that. And, you know, when you think of Swami, nobody thinks of practical reality. It is just that whole euphoria and that, you know, wave of devotion and love for Swami. So we, Swami is going to turn three floors and come up. And so we should decorate the entire path.
Okay.
The entire staircase had to be decorated. So we got all bougainvillea flowers, whatever creepers we could find. And suddenly somebody came running and said, you know, I found something amazing. I said, what is it? We ran to the garden of the Ishwarama school.
Okay.
There are those metal arches that okay. were there. And we all went and plucked out.
Uprooted
them from there.
Okay.
And that gardener of the Ishwarama school must have got a shock the next day. But who cares? We just took two of those arches, came, put them. And then, in fact, I remember when Swami actually came there to the first one. Mm-hmm. He said, you want me to go inside that? So we put all our bougainvillea flowers, this, that. And there was a lot of activity going on. And suddenly we saw there were patches on the wall. It was just, chunnam paint.
Right.
And there were patches on the wall.
Peeled off.
And he said, hey, how can we show this to Swami? We should repaint it. So then there was a lot of activity. Somebody got, don't worry, I have brought paint. And we all with cloth and with brush, some had brush, some had cloth. So with whatever we could, we put our hands and started painting the wall.
Okay.
And after some time, we realized it's kind of smelling funny. Then somebody came, some senior boy came and said, why are you putting bleaching powder on the wall? So, we thought that was chunnam and we started painting. So again we scraped that, and Sahni sir was the warden at that time.
Okay.
So he came and said, see, it's getting late. Don't strain yourself. Basically, he was trying to tell us, see, yes, it's good, devotion, and but, you know, when Swami comes to the hostel, you all have to be fresh. You all have to be, so if you work late night, how will you come? This, that. He was trying to give his piece of, but we said, no, sir, we want to do it. And then we went ahead and did chunnam again and all that. And Swami came the next day. And I remember that was Shantanu Dikshit's first debut singing in front of Swami.
Okay.
And he sang very beautifully and Swami is so happy. And then Swami asked, what do you want? He told Swami, please come to our...
He was in 8th standard.
He was in 8th.
Okay.
He was in 8th class. So he had just come to higher secondary school. He told Swami, please come to our mandir, Swami, our puja room. And all the institute boys around were laughing because... none of them recollected that even during the inauguration of the hostel, Swami has not gone all the way up to the third floor.
Okay.
So all of them were smiling and they said, Swami said, I will come. Swami patted him on his cheek. So they said, yeah, Swami will go in any form. But you know, the previous day in B floor, there was one room which said, oh, these boys are getting ready. What if Swami really comes?
Okay.
Let us also keep our room ready. And if Swami comes. So what happened is that day, Swami, Shantanu said, ask Swami, and Swami said, I will come. And then Swami, immediately after the bhajan session, they went into the dining hall. And Swami told all the institute boys to sit inside. They chatted Brahmarpanam, and we all were standing outside, school children, and looking at them. And Swami was inside. The moment Brahmarpanam was over, and they started their food, Swami looked at us and said, come on, I will come. You won't believe the excitement. Boys running, school boys, 8th and 9th only.
Right.
So we had to run from the other staircase, which was at the entrance of the hostel. Because this side, we had decorated the entire pathway.
You don't want to.
We don't want to spoil that.
Right.
So boys were running from the other side, and Swami actually came all the way till the third floor. And on his way to the third floor, he, as if by accident, walked into the D floor room. So I said, where is the altar? Where are all the boys? And those boys were in the room. They said, Swami, this is B floor, Swami. All are in C floor. But he went to the room. He blessed the boys in the room. Then came to the C floor. So happy. And he threw chocolates and signed on the photo with Love Baba. The photo which we were actually worshipping there. And he actually sanctified the whole thing. I mean, the collective and combined activity, how Swami responds to it. It's just amazing.
That, as we were talking earlier, it's so important, you know, at that age...
Mm.
I mean, we claim to have faith in prayer, but I think Swami built that faith in prayer.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, what amount of theory you read that God answered Dhruva's prayers, God answered Prahlada's prayers. We saw it happening. Of course, we didn't have any Hiranyakashipu or so. But we saw it happening. The circumstances had come such a way. Another beautiful incident which comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is also again regarding prayer and how Swami responds.
Okay.
This was in our 11th class when the Kulwant Hall was being built.
Right.
And, Swami was really in Vrindavan for a long stretch, about 5 to 6 months. So there was a lot of, we were in absolutely helpless situation. What can we do? There is a construction going on and Swami cannot come. And we just poured out our feelings in letters and sent it to Swami in batches and batches. And, finally we thought we should do something which would really catch Swami's attention. So we planned out a scroll-like thing.
Okay.
And we took chart paper and cut it. I was a part of the card room, so we were there in the genesis of the idea and the execution of the idea. Because took a chart paper and folded it into half, and then we attached portions of it going long. So we made it a long scroll.
Mm-hmm.
And we told each boy to write one sentence of what he feels, expressing his love for Swami and whatever he wants. So each boy wrote one line. And we made it into a long scroll and sent it to Swami. Swami was so happy seeing that.
I mean, how many messages were there in
that? Yeah, must have been 250 or 300 messages.
In one scroll.
Long scroll. In fact, when it went to Swami, Swami asked for it to be brought specially to Trayi.
Okay.
In Trayi session, and Swami said, open it.
Mm-hmm.
From the place where Swami was sitting on the jula, it went all the way to the center hall.
Okay.
So that was how big, from the behind door, not the front door.
Okay.
So the huge scroll, and Swami was telling the warden to read. Read some more, read some more, read some more. And the teachers there were saying, what is the use of Swami sitting in Vrindavan? All the time he's thinking of you guys in Parthi. And Swami was so loving, and he was asking the engineers, when can I come to Parthi? When can I come to Parthi? My boys are praying for me. Of course, everybody is praying for him. And even then they were saying, Swami, it just rained. So, we made a portion of construction and it got washed down and all that. Then we said, this is going on endlessly. Let us pray that Swami should come. And so the teachers and the elders said, let us chant continuous Nama Japam.
Okay.
So Om Shri Sairam was what was decided upon. And they kept a special room in the school and special room in the hostel.
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen, day and night we thought we will chant Om Shri Sairam. Our idea was to do it for 7 days.
Seven days continuously.
So when the batch would start in the school, then the batch in the hostel would stop. So there is an overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no time where it's not being chanted. So it was divided into slots like how you have for Akhanda Bhajan.
Right.
One class would go and do it at a particular time. You won't believe it. The second day or third day, Swami said, I'm leaving to Parthi. Swami asked them, is there not one room I can stay? One room. I just need one single room. And Swami actually came and stayed for a couple of days in the green room. The room behind the stage in Poonachandra Hall. In the green room, Swami stayed just to answer our prayers. He came all the way. Then he almost like kind of coming and explaining to us that, see, it's not yet over. And he blessed all of us and then again went back. Isn't it amazing?
I mean, really, what? what can you mean? I'm just thinking of the teachers who were there then, You couldn't have told those children anything.
But the
way Swami proved it to them,
exactly.
What can be told in volumes?
Exactly.
Swami did it in a gesture.
Living with God is true education. I mean, what more education you want? This is education for life. I mean, it's not for mere living, as Swami says.
In so many things, it's not just in devotion and prayer, and it is sincerity. Swami is telling us, the power of unity.
The power of coming together. Very small incident while we were in primary school. There was one of my classmates who was, who is a doctor now.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting and reading a book in the darshan line.
Okay.
Darshan was going on and Swami had just come out from the interview room and he was sitting and reading a book. And he didn't realize that Swami had come out.
Mm-hmm.
So he was so engrossed in the book, and Swami made make way, he would say, and came straight up to where he was seated. And even then he didn't realize, boys were trying to kind of prompt him and say, Swami has come.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so engrossed in the book. Then Swami tapped him on the head and Swami said, very good, good concentration. I mean, good concentration. And that boy has become a doctor now. But the way he responds, the way he reacts, I mean, what else is education?
Right.
It is that learning, the entire learning process. And Swami teaches in so many different ways.
I'm reminded of what one thing happened to one of my seniors.
Mm-hmm.
A little humorous, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There were two boys sitting, and one boy had studied in the school, and there was another boy who was a newcomer in the university. So, you know, he was going on asking this boy who was from the school, like, mm-hmm. what should I do that Swami should come and talk to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the other boy tried telling him, see, nobody can give you that, you know.
Mm.
If Swami chooses, he will come and talk to you. He tried to tell him that, but this boy was very persistent.
Mm.
No, you tell me, what should I do? No, you've been here, you tell me, what if I do, Swami will come and speak to me. I really want to know, I want Swami to speak to me. So it came to a situation where, you know, this boy just wanted to get this newcomer off his back, literally.
Okay.
So he said, no, I'll tell you one thing, you just close your eyes, don't talk to anybody.
Mm.
Chant Sai Gayatri 108 times.
Mm.
Swami will come and speak to you.
Mm.
So immediately this boy said, you mean really it'll happen?
Mm.
Are you sure?
Mm.
He said, yeah, you try it out, it'll work. Okay, so immediately this boy closed his eyes and very sincerely, 108 times he chanted Gayatri. The time when he finished the 108th Gayatri, Swami opened the door, came in front of him and asked, hey boy, where are you from?
Wow.
You can imagine what a lesson it is for the person who experienced it and the boy who actually told him
that. That's true.
Like, as a matter of trying to keep him occupied, he just told him, but, you know, even he would have, it would have been a revelation even to him.
And see, Swami's teachings in this unique way is one aspect. Academically also, you know, Swami's institutions are really well established. But there's something very interesting which Professor Venkatraman was once narrating. He and Professor Sampat were with Swami.
Okay.
And Professor Sampat was very happily telling Swami, this group from Delhi had come.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, this is the best institute, this is the best school, this is the best. And they were very happy, Swami. Swami said, okay. Then Swami said, academic also they are very good, sports mm-hmm. they are good, every aspect they are very good. Swami was listening. Then Swami looked at him, Vice Chancellor, have I told that? People may say, but have I told that? I mean, which other chancellor is available to his students 365 days in the year? And when Swami takes a so-called vacation to Kodaikanal, he takes the students with him. Kodaikanal is all the more intense teaching. I mean, that is,
really?
As Swami says, nobody else is fit to wear this saffron robe. See, his entire life was a life of sacrifice.
Exactly.
And he, every moment he was teaching, every second he was teaching.
That's the beauty. You know, if you're talking of a child, of a little child, you know, the nearest example of sacrifice for the child is a parent,
yeah.
The mother and the father.
Mm-hmm.
But here was Swami taking the place of the mother and father for so many children.
You know, there's a very humorous incident that comes to my mind.
Okay.
See, my brother, when he was young, he was a little bit plump.
Okay.
And so we would wear shorts at that time,
right,
for darshan also.
Mm-hmm.
And invariably he would come back with a torn pant.
Okay.
And this was vacation time, about mm-hmm. Diwali, October time. And on one of those days,
mm-hmm.
My mother got a bit upset and she said, see, only Swami can handle you. See, every day you come back with a torn pant. How am I going to manage? And he put a very sorry face. And then she said, okay, don't worry, Swami will take care. And that was the end of it. And that day was Diwali. Swami was very busily distributing all the fireworks. And that time we used to have the fireworks right in the mandir.
Right.
On the sand.
In front of the mandir.
Beautiful, beautiful days. So suddenly, as if he had something very important, he almost rushed into the interview room. And you won't believe it, he came out holding a short
pair of shorts
in his hand. And he brought it to the veranda and he's looking at everybody and with a beautiful smile, he called my brother up.
Okay.
And then he actually put it onto him and said, he was trying to see if it fits.
Measuring.
He was measuring and seeing. And my mother says, from the veranda, he gave a direct look at her.
Mm-hmm.
There she was seated in the public. And she knew that Swami is saying, yes, I am the one, I will take care. Yeah, when you just mentioned substituting a parent, it's not a substituting. Swami never substitutes anyone. He is everybody for us.
I know this is a very humorous incident. I'm reminded of a very, very touching incident, you know, which happened. One of the students who already had a single parent, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the other parent suddenly fell sick, and you know, even the other parent passed away.
Oh.
And, okay, Swami knew the family very well, and
mm-hmm.
Swami had a special attention on that child. So this news came to Swami, and Swami had to break the news to the child. Okay, that was the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in Mandir, Swami called this girl who was studying the primary school. And for 15 minutes, Swami started telling her that, you know, see, whatever happens to you, I am the one who has to come to your rescue.
Mm.
I am the one who is always going to take care of you.
Mm.
Whatever you want, you have to ask me. I am your mother, I am your father.
Mm.
Okay, your mother and father may not be next to you, but I'll always be with you. And for nearly 15, 20 minutes, Swami, you know, went on in this manner, establishing the fact in that child's mind that, you know, I am your everything.
Mm.
And then Swami said, see, don't worry, your mother has passed away, your father, I don't know who it was.
Mm.
And, you know, the way Swami broke that such a sad news to the child, I mean, literally Swami took the place of that parent.
The way he comes down to everybody's level and the way he, you know, speaking of this, I remember a very senior devotee, I believe, who had lost his son and his daughter-in-law in some accident.
Okay.
When they had come to Vrindavan, they were just weeping.
Inconsolable.
I mean, what can you tell them? And the moment Swami opened the thry door, hey, kab aaya? and he took them inside for a couple of minutes, maybe about 15 minutes, and they come out beaming. I mean, who else can do that? Who else can do that? The way Swami relates to each one is just amazing.
Really beautiful. And I mean, dear listeners, this is one primary school student here who is having such beautiful memories. You can imagine thousands and thousands have passed out. It's been 30 years, Sai Prakash, 1981. And in fact, Ooty school is even earlier, 1978,
true,
I believe. So I'm sure each one of these students will have their own lesson plans, if you could put it that way.
That's,
you know,
true.
How they've learned.
Lessons for life, truly.
Literally.
Mm.
And it's so beautiful. And talking about this just takes us dearer to Swami, and I'm reminded of what one of my seniors told me, that there was, during one of the sports meet,
mm-hmm.
they were performing some wave formation for the first time.
Okay.
You know, that was the first time a wave formation was being mm-hmm. shown in front of Swami. They had some ribbons and
mm-hmm.
the whole 200 of them forming the waves. And Swami had come to see the practice session.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami saw that and Swami was so excited.
Mm.
Swami said, ah, waves, waves, waves. Mm. One day you will all merge in me.
Wow.
Swami said.
That's amazing.
And that's the beauty of Swami, you know. Nobody is too small to learn the biggest lessons of life.
Amazing.
And, you know, nobody is too old to learn the simple and small lessons of life. And as you said, you know, Shankar Dayal Sharma, the former president, he too was a student with Swami, and all of us too are students of Swami. And
I mean, the way Swami taught is so beautiful, and I think it's a responsibility for, you know, on our shoulders, that we should share some of these incidents with students even now, because they can relate to it, because they are in the same environment, they are in the same, like, in a way we would say that every action of ours was based on whether Swami would be happy with this, Swami would be happy with it. For the matter, you know, I tried to start learning harmonium on my own,
mm-hmm.
and Swami acknowledged that. He said, who taught you harmonium? You learnt it on your own. It's a very beautiful thing. Possibly we may have to conclude with that. I don't
know. Yeah, sure.
So
maybe we'll conclude with this.
When I joined Radio Sai, much later, on one of those days, Swami was due to visit the hostel,
okay,
high secondary school. And I had gone there, to set up the camera and just try out where Swami would. And very surprisingly, on that day when Swami actually visited, he stood on the podium and spoke. Not the gender, regular discourse table. He came to the podium and he spoke. So that day I had gone there, and Swami came in the morning and he asked, where is that boy? He plays harmonium, boy. Then one of my colleague was there. He told Swami he has gone to set up in the higher secondary school. And then he told Swami harmonium he plays, but he also now he is learning video camera. He's shooting, and then he's doing video editing, all that he's learning, Swami, and he's really picking up well. That's what my colleague told Swami, thinking that he's informing Swami about what I was doing. That was my job, so I was doing it. Then Swami looked at him and with a smile he said, he is not learning anything.
Okay.
So that boy was surprised. And Swami said, see, he is not learning anything, but he is doing everything with love. So automatically everything will turn out fine. Automatically everything will come out well. I had just written it in some book of mine, and when I saw that, now when I think of it, how powerful that message is. I mean, we know students, how they excel themselves, how they perform things which even professionals can't think of in that period of time.
Right.
Of course, we can't really compare with professionals in any field, be it sports meet, be it music, be it singing. Some of the singers that Swami has blessed here, who are here, even, you know, professional singers look up to them. Their voice is so sweet, so amazing. And some of the stunts that are done here in our sports meet, some of the dramatics, you know, enactment, everything comes from the source. I mean, it's all from the source. So Swami says, do it with love. Then automatically it will come out well. I think that is a long and short of the entire Swami's education system. Like, do everything with love. And Swami stood there as one who would reward you for that love.
Right.
So you automatically related to him and did everything offering to him. Now in his physical absence, we would still continue to do the same and offer every act of ours to Swami.
Exactly. He was the one who was teaching. He was the one who was guiding. And as you said, he was the reward. You
know, exactly.
He placed himself as the, you know, the final...
like for sports meet, you know, he is the host, he is the guest, he is the inspiration.
And finally, he is the guest.
He is the one to whom we are dedicating it. It's amazing.
It's beautiful. Sai Prakash, it was indeed a pleasure having you here on the satsang, and I'm sure all our listeners will enjoy it. Last week we spoke about Swami's primary school.
Okay.
in the sense when Swami was in the primary school, and this week we spoke about Swami's primary school.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I think it's... lovely recollections we had of how Swami taught us, and there's much more. Maybe the weeks to come we'll have time to explore that. Dear listeners, with this we bring this afternoon satsang to a close. I'm going to leave you with a song. You know, if you have comments and if you have enjoyed this program and if you have anything to point out to us so that we can make it better, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. So this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me, Sai Prakash from Team Radio Sai. We offer our most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet for giving us this opportunity and all the opportunities that he has given us. On the other side of the song I'm playing for you, you will have Chandu joining you with his lovely program, Love to Love.
the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam. I am Chandu Vijay and welcome to Love to Love.
We play the notes and you stare smiling, silently whispering each note to us. March through the rhythm and you sit there giving the beat, silently setting the rhythm of our lives. We offer our music to thee and you sit there with your eyes closed, silently enrapturing us with the music of thy love. Thou art the song which never fades, the melody that our heart beat. Pray and grant us that we may spread the music of thy love, which echoes in every heart that beats, which echoes in every heart that beats. Whose beauty nature always reflects, whose glory the world always sings. Beauty the nature always reflects, whose glory the world always sings. Our own gratitude all may drop to that infinite beauty, silently enrapturing us with the music of thy love. Never fades the melody that our heart beat. Pray, grant us that we may spread the music of thy love, which echoes in every heart that beats, which echoes in every heart that beats. How then can we ever think his version to be a history, when we wake up every morning only to find him in the brilliant of the sun, in the caress of the breeze, in the songs of the bees, in the cool rays of the moon. Thank you. in every heart that beats.